This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. Make sure that you check out Marking Out over on Spotify and wherever else you are listening to your podcast needs. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Buy a t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/Marking Out. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on TikTok at Marking Out, Twitter at Marking Out, Instagram at MarkingOut11. You can follow me, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. Chris at CMSweeney85 on Twitter. And Chris Sweendog on Twitter and the other ones on Instagram. And you can follow Brandon at BTTG161 on all social media platforms. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. How was your week?
I went to Stu Leonard's this week. When was the last time you were there? Ever?
I think I probably walked in once with Chris, maybe.
I got their not fried chicken ice cream, which is vanilla soft serve with a pretzel rod in the middle, and then they put chocolate syrup and they roll it in cornflakes. And I think it was good. I don't think it was worth the price. I also wish that they put like a chocolate shell in it instead of the chocolate syrup. But I would have sworn that this was something like based off of something invented in Japan. But apparently it was invented in South Carolina. And they sell the actual drumstick version at Yankee Stadium. They sell it at Stu Leonard's as well. But they sell out every game. So I would like to try that version of this as well, but it was decent.
Nice.
How about yourself? You do anything?
No, nothing really. Nothing really. I know.
Well.
But we did have a lot of talk about with wrestling. So moving on to Monday Night Raw, kicking off with Obafemi.
Basically,
exciting
just,
promo.
Just said he's going to win the King of the Ring. And questioned, he polled the audience who he should challenge after he wins the King of the Ring, and the fans were cheering for the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know if I necessarily want to see that, but Jey Uso came out and he spoke about everybody counting him out and said he's winning the King of the Ring and going on to challenge Cody Rhodes. But yeah, I feel like I would much rather see Oba become WWE champion than take the World Heavyweight Championship from Roman?
Yeah, I think that he has to. I mean, it's going to be a big match, and I feel like Oba is going to be the winner. I think that if he faces, I don't know. I feel like whoever he faces, he's going to have to. I would like to see him win.
And that's why I
said,
I'd
rather see him in there.
That's why I think we need to see him win the King of the Ring, win the WWE Championship night one, and then retire, or beat Brock Lesnar night one, or vice versa, and then win the WWE Championship, retire Brock. It's going to be at SummerSlam either way, so whether or not he's booked twice, I don't know. But that's what, if he wins the King of the Ring, that has to happen.
Yeah, I'd rather him win than Jey Uso, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
not
first
that I don't have a problem
night,
with Jey Uso. The internet is like, they're having like meltdowns over Jey Uso. I find it to be ridiculous.
Well, that's because it really shouldn't be him. But
I don't want to see Jey Uso win the King of the Ring, but I have no problems. Overall, I have no problem with Jey Uso.
I'm over it. But Paige and Brie picked the victory over Bayley and Valkyria to retain their championship. Entertaining match, but more so important what happened after the match.
Lyra, they had an interview beforehand. She seemed like she came into this match on like a whole different level. She looked unstable. So that was quite the foreshadowing there. I thought what they did in the match, I thought was good. I liked that Fisherman Buster that she did. And then she did Paige's taunt and Paige rolled through and ends up hitting that rampage to get the victory there. But aftermath, like you said, Bayley helped Lyra Valkyria up and Lyra beat the hell out of Bayley. That's the end of that.
Yeah, so long for that. I mean,
okay. I was hoping to see them become tag team champions at some point. Now everyone's saying, Bayley's going to AEW. That's it. This is the end of Bayley in WWE. Pamela Martinez debuting at such and such.
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure.
After that, we had Chad Gable come out, called out the Alpha Academy to apologize. It seemed like Otis was going to accept that apology from Chad Gable. And then Maxine grabbed the microphone before he could do anything and said that everything about Chad Gable's been a lie. And Maxine spoke for the three of them. Otis, he was still kind of torn, but the three of them left together. Kind of sad to see.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think that it's not going to be looking too well on that apology tour. I don't think he's going to get it from everybody.
I mean, he's not getting the apology. He's giving the apology.
Well, he's not going to get the apology accepted.
I think Otis and Tozawa are going to accept it. The Creeds have just disappeared. I don't know where they are. Los Americanos disappeared as well.
Yeah, they're no longer around. So we'll see what happens with that. Next up, you had Ethan Page pick up the victory over Dragon Lee.
That suicide senton from Dragon Lee, man. I don't know how he does stuff like that. That's absolutely wild.
Not the most smartest move to do.
Well, but in the end of the match, Dragon Lee gets low blowed by Ethan Page. The referee, I guess, couldn't tell that it was done on purpose. And Ethan Page won off of that. But, like, if you know Ethan Page, then definitely on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had Io Sky come out. And she said that she can't wait to face Liv Morgan for the Queen of the Ring finals. And said that she's going to beat Liv to become the champion or whatever you would call it. The crown. The Queen of the Ring, I guess you would call it. And then Liv Morgan came out, reminded Io of who she is, and she said she's going to make history by winning and then going to beat Rhea Ripley and take that title as well. And then Io yelled at Liv Morgan, Liv attacked her, but Io came out on top here. I thought this was a good segment. And then later on, you had Dominic and JD try to get their money back from Danhausen. Danhausen said that he spent it, and then JD threatened to steal whatever Danhausen spent his money on. He ends up cursed. He got shocked. And then Liv Morgan, backstage, pissed off at what Io did. Roxanne was left being put to the side again in all of that.
Mm.
So it seems like there's going to be like some sort of turmoil within the Judgment Day soon. Later on, Dominic tried to get an apology from Chad Gable, which I thought was really funny. And Gable's like, you're the whole reason I went to Mexico. You sent me to Mexico in the first place. I was dumb for listening to you. And then a match for next week was set up between Chad Gable and JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh, completely like out of it, shocked himself on that Danhausen experiment, whatever it is. All this because Dom wants Penta's Intercontinental Championship. Gable also wants the Intercontinental Championship.
Now, we're not even sure how that's going to impact JD now.
I mean,
it's not like he came up with a response like anybody else, too. So,
given how we've seen The Miz and Kit Wilson affected, surely JD McDonagh is gonna be in no shape to actually face Chad Gable. It's probably gonna be like I would assume a quick sort of match there.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the night, backstage, we had Jimmy Uso and LA Knight arguing over what happened last week. Adam Pearce sets that up as a match, and then later on, we see LA Knight pick up the victory over Jimmy Uso. Commentary spent a lot of time about whether or not LA Knight is paranoid with Roman Reigns, and I feel like he's 100% right to feel the way he's been feeling about the bloodline. So I don't think it's paranoia. Is that, like, is that not? I mean, we've said it for weeks. It seems like the bloodline here are heels.
I think the bloodline are a group of heels.
And in this, you had Solo Sikoa show up, hits Jimmy Uso with the Samoan spike. LA Knight hits the BFT off of that. I expected LA Knight to win this match. Didn't expect Solo Sikoa to get involved like that.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sit-down interview with Seth Rollins about Bron Breakker and the cage match for Night of Champions. That'll play into the main event where we see the Street Profits pick up the victory over the Vision to become the new tag team champions. I didn't expect the Street Profits to win this match. I also thought this match went a lot longer than I was expecting it to. Logan Paul got involved here, and the referee kicked him from ringside. And he said that he'd be back, and he showed up with brass knucks eventually. Joe Hendry returned to a huge pop to chase Logan Paul off. And then Austin Theory went to go grab those brass knucks, and that's when Seth Rollins showed up. Bron Breakker got ready for him, but Seth Rollins was on the opposite side of the ring, knocks Austin Theory out, and that led to the Street Profits becoming tag team champions.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. I mean, nothing on Monday Night Raw really has me drawn to pay attention or be entertained right now. So we'll see. Hopefully things change. Moving on to NXT, Aaron Rourke picked up the victory over Tristan Angels to retain. Aaron Rourke.
Angels started to gain some control here. The lights flickered and Shiloh Hill's laugh played. And I thought that was going to like affect the match, but it really didn't. Angels recovered pretty quickly there, but at one point got dragged under the ring and it led to Aaron Rourke getting the victory there. I feel like Aaron Rourke could have been showcased more here, but I thought it was still a good NXT TV debut for him. So I don't know if we're going to see more of Aaron Rourke. Well, I should say in-ring-wise because he was a judge the other week. I don't know if we're going to see more of Evolve play on TV here, but I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had Saquon Sugars and Dion Lennox have their face-to-face, and Dion Lennox said that Dark State was never meant to have Saquon Sugars in it. They're all, like, I don't know if they're D1 athletes or what, but he's not. He's the indie guy. And Saquon Sugars said that there's no Dark State without him. And Lennox was like, we spent more time babysitting you. You're still your own worst enemy. And I thought this was a very good segment there. And I feel like for the first time, we've heard both of them here. I thought this was really well done.
Mm-hmm. Next up, you had Hank and Tank pick the victory over Birthright. Good match.
I liked when Hank threw Stax into that rebound and hit him with the clothesline. I thought that was a good move. I think Stax and Connors worked well in this match. But at one point, Birthright surrounded Matt Matthews, who's still on NXT for whatever reason. He was managing Hank and Tank for this episode. They dove onto Birthright, and then later on, Lexus King tried to attack him. He ducked it. Charlie Dempsey knocks out Lexus King, and then Charlie Dempsey falls onto Lexus King to low blow him. All of that contributed to the end of the match, where I wasn't expecting Birthright to lose here, but if you have a celebrity guest manager, then I guess you have to have him win.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had the contract signing between Lola Vice and Kendall Gray. Kendall apologized for what happened last week, and Lola Vice just, she's not buying it. Lola Vice, she did put her over, but she said that she's the future, but her success will not come while she's champion. I thought that was a great line to include there. We found out that this is going to be the main event of Great American Bash. So I feel like, I mean, unless something really big happens, I feel like Kendall Gray has to get that championship from Lola Vice.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I'm very much so looking forward to that match.
Pick of the victory. Yeah, next up you had Prosper pick the victory over Carver. Entertaining.
Carver controlled most of this match to the point where it should have been over, like, way sooner than it was. There was a moment where EK Prosper fought back, and he got a quick victory there, and then Kiana Carver attacked him afterwards, put him through the commentary table. Not the only one of the night, though. After that, we had Ariana Grace pick up the victory over Izzy Dame to become number one contender for the Speed Championship. When Izzy Dame hit that sky high within the first 30 seconds, I thought that was about to be the end of the match. But Stax ends up getting involved. Izzy Dame knocks him off the apron. Sean Spears cost Izzy Dame the match. She, earlier in the match, I guess high-fived Nico Vance. So Sean Spears, right before she's setting up for that finisher of hers, begging Izzy Dame for a high five. So she finally agrees, hits the high five, and gets rolled up to lose. And she was pissed off. She was staring daggers right through Sean Spears there. And then we go into the next match. Dorian Van Dukes and Sean Legacy get the victory over the Cullen. Dukes and Legacy, I thought, were great in this match. That springboard 450 and then the shooting star press from Dukes was a good victory over Sean Spears. Izzy Dame, though, like I said, was absolutely disgusted with Sean Spears. And I don't even remember if she gave like the nod or whatever. Nico Vance ends up attacking him, puts him through the commentary table. I don't know where the Cullen go from here, but obviously Izzy Dame and Nico Vance are on the same page. Sean Spears is not.
Yeah, hard to say right now.
Earlier in the night, we had Naraku deliver the contract to Tony D'Angelo in the parking lot. Tony D'Angelo opened it up, gets a fireball to his eyes. Gets sent off the whole night to get checked out by a hospital or a local medical facility. And we closed the show with Robert Stone in the ring. And he said the match will still happen. He brings out Naraku. And Naraku's like, I'll just take the title if there's nobody to face me. Mason Rook showed up. He's like, you don't just get handed a championship. I'll fight you for the title. The Vanity Project showed up. Jackson Drake also wants to step up for that championship. Mason Rook ends up taking Jackson Drake out. And Robert Stone was like, the match was never going to be Mason or Jackson Drake. It was always going to be him. And then they bring out Tony D'Angelo, who's got a bandage on his face. And Naraku escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think Takahashi's going to be debuting at the Great American Bash. We could start with that match. That match is opening Great American Bash. They're having a tailgate. Kevin Owens is involved. Busted Open's involved. Kevin Owens needs to watch out for flying pies. July pies are not his friend. But for the NXT Championship, Tony D'Angelo defending the title against Naraku. Has to be Naraku.
I'm going
to
go with Naraku.
Has to be. I don't see any other way there.
Going to go Naraku.
Deion Lennox, Saquon Sugar.
North American Championship.
Or that. Nope. Which one do you want to do?
I'll go with Lennox. We'll go with Lennox Sugars. I'll go with Lennox.
I'm going to say Saquon Sugars there.
Okay. All right. North American Championship, Bourne taking on Heights. I'm going to go with Heights.
I'm going to say Miles Bourne.
Okay.
The Women's North America Championship, Zarya defending the title against Tayda Paxley. Zarya. I mean, Zarya just got the championship.
I'm going to go with Zarya.
There's no way. You have Shiloh Hill.
I feel like Paxley just lost hers, right?
Yeah. Shiloh Hill taking on Tristan Angels. Going to say Shiloh Hill.
Yeah. Hill. For sure, Hill.
And then the main event for the NXT Women's Championship, Lola Vice defending the title against Kendall Gray. I'm going to say Kendall Gray.
I agree with you.
What
Kendall
I don't want to see.
Picking up that victory.
What I don't want to see is her turn heel. So I hope that's not a thing.
Okay. We hope not.
I really hope that's not a thing. But that is NXT Great American Bash. Moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with B-Fab and Mia Yim picking up the victory over Alexa Bliss and Tiffany Stratton. Like I said the other week, I've been enjoying getting to see Mia Yim and B-Fab wrestling. I liked commentary questioning why Tiffany Stratton would be taking this match when Jade Cargill's not in this match, and she has Jade Cargill at Night of Champions. But Corey Graves said maybe it's just to make the match at Night of Champions one-on-one. I like that reasoning there. Alexa Bliss spent most of this match being attacked. Jade Cargill showed up. She pulled Tiffany Stratton's leg when she went for the prettiest moonsault ever. It led to B-Fab getting the victory there. They went to attack Tiffany Stratton afterwards, and Chelsea Green made the save. Jade Cargill wanted a match with Chelsea Green, and later on we saw Jade Cargill pick up the victory over Chelsea. This was, honestly, it just makes Jade Cargill look strong going into that Night of Champions. Not a one-sided match, but obviously Jade Cargill was winning this match, and there wasn't much to it. Jade continued to beat Chelsea down afterwards. Tiffany Stratton tried to make the save with Alexa Bliss, but the baddies beat them down, and they came out on top going into that event. We had Rey Fénix pick up the victory over Nathan Frazer to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. I thought this was great to see the AAA Championship on SmackDown again. And this was an incredible match. Obviously a very fast-paced match. Also a very even match. And they got a standing ovation, rightfully so. I thought this was great. Earlier in the night, we saw Tama Tonga speak to Solo Sikoa. Wasn't happy about last week with Solo costing them the tag team championships. And they weren't happy with Monday Night Raw. Tala said they got word from the elders, they're out. They're done. They're not the MFTs. They're done with Solo Sikoa. And LA Knight goes to the ring. He addressed Solo Sikoa getting involved in his match on Monday Night Raw. Called Solo out. Solo mentioned everyone leaving him. And said that he's not out there for a fight. And LA Knight said that he just leaves Solo wide open to go back to the bloodline. Being alone. And LA Knight questioned why he did what he did, and Solo got pissed off and he said he hates the bloodline and he needs to take them out. And LA Knight said that Solo should hate Roman, the Usos should hate Roman, Jacob Fatu should hate Roman. But here they are back with Roman. So obviously he thinks Solo Sikoa is going back to Roman Reigns, and Solo was like, it's very different with him because it's just him. And he pitched working with LA Knight to take them out. One of the enemy of an enemy is a friend sort of thing. And LA Knight ultimately turned him down. Later on, Finn Balor spoke to Tama Tonga and Tala Tonga, and he was happy to see them finally make their own decisions. And Tama Tonga reminded Finn Balor that Shinsuke Nakamura also is from his past, and look what happened with Shinsuke. So, I don't think we're going to get some sort of like Bullet Club reunion there, but we'll see what happens. Later on, also, we saw Royce Keyes speak to Solo Sikoa, and he wished Solo luck. Solo was like, are you going to join me? And he wasn't there to form an alliance. We had Paige pick up the victory over JC Jane. Lainey Reed distracted Paige like at the very start of the match, and JC hit a kick, almost gets the victory there. And I think commentary did a very good job building JC Jane up. But JC, she used the ropes at one point to pin Paige. Brie knocks her feet off the ropes. That led to a scuffle. Paige rolls up. JC Jane gets the victory there. And people freaked out. Oh my God, JC Jane lost. She's buried there. They're killing Fatal Influence. But I feel like Fatal Influence are going to win the tag team titles from them. I don't see how that's her being buried. Backstage, Danhausen had Miz and Kit Wilson completely in that catatonic state. And then Danhausen goes to the ring and hosts Miz TV with Miz and Kit Wilson. Los Garza came out and took Miz and Kit Wilson out. They wanted their money back from Danhausen. And right before he could get attacked, or right before they could attack him, Matt Cardona made the save, and it gets put into a tag team match. Danhausen, Matt Cardona pick up the victory over Los Garza. No mention of Los Perros del Mal like they did on NXT with Nikita Lyons and Bronco Nima. So that's unfortunate, but I think this was a good way to get Miz and Kit Wilson cheered in London and have it like not affect anything going on in the United States. But Kit Wilson gets taken out by Los Garza, ends up coming back to take Angel Garza out and stop him from using a steel chair. That led to Matt Cardona hitting the Rough Rider outside the ring. Umberto went to the top rope, and Danhausen cursed him. There was an explosion. He falls. Danhausen hits the inverted DDT, gets the victory there. We had Julia pick up the victory over Kiana James. Good on SmackDown for having three women's matches here. Kiana James, I think, looked really good in this match, and I would like to see her win a singles championship. But Julia hit Arrivederce. She hit the Northern Lights bomb and got the victory off of that. And then Blake Monroe finally showed up and attacked Julia. So we're going to be seeing Blake Monroe and Julia as Blake Monroe's first, I guess, program on the main roster. Going back to Japan, it's been mentioned in Blake Monroe's promos. I think Julia might have even mentioned it too. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then to close out SmackDown, Cody Rhodes came out, immediately interrupted by Sami Zayn. Sami has convinced himself that he's winning the WWE Championship at Night of Champions. And he told Cody Rhodes that he regrets what he did last week. But he also said that he didn't want to be in the middle of Cody and Gunther. And Cody yelled at him and was like, this is exactly what you want. Oh, I don't want a WWE Championship match. This is you. You want this. And Cody brought up Kevin Owens and how it's shocking that they're friends, because Kevin Owens wouldn't have stabbed him in the back. He would have done it to his face. And also, he's been a WWE champion. And Sammy told Cody to keep Kevin Owens' name out of his mouth. And the only reason why he's WWE champion right now is because of him. Him being Sami Zayn. And then he said that he'll be the reason why Cody loses at the Premium Live event. Gunther came out, said he doesn't care about all the drama. But Sammy's right. And he said that he would be champion if it wasn't for Sami. But unlike Sami Zayn, he's wrong with who's leaving champion. Gunther said he's leaving with the championship. And then going to SummerSlam to face the King of the Ring winner. Jey Uso showed up and addressed all of them. It led to Gunther attacking Jey. Cody went to hit a crossroads on Gunther. Sammy stopped it. And Gunther took Sammy out. Cody and Jey worked together to take Gunther out. Obafemi showed up. Jey took Cody out with that distraction. And Gunther took Jey out. And then Sammy took Gunther out. Cody showed up again, took out Sami Zayn. And then Obafemi stepped up to Cody Rhodes to close the show. So that is SmackDown. Going to do predictions for Night of Champions taking place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The King and Queen of the Ring tournament finals are going to be airing live on ESPN. Also, by the way, that Great American Bash is the first event on CW Network and ESPN at the same time.
Hmm.
But King and Queen of the Ring.
Interesting.
Winners go on for a championship match at SummerSlam. We have Io Sky versus Liv Morgan for the Queen of the Ring. I've been saying Io Sky from the start. I'm not changing my answer now.
I agree with you. I'm going to go with Io Sky.
And I feel like, I mean, we just spoke about it. We're not changing our answers. Oba Femi.
Yeah, Oba. Oba, King of the Ring.
For the United States.
Let's go over to the U.S. Championship.
Trick Williams defending the championship against Ricky Saints. Trick Williams.
I'm going Trick Williams.
Yeah.
Steel cage match. Braun Breaker taking on Seth Rollins. I'm going to go with Seth Rollins.
This is tough for me. I feel like both of them need to win here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say Seth Rollins. I'm torn on that though.
Women's U.S. Championship on the line. Tiffany defending against Jade. I'm gonna go with Tiffany.
Yeah, I'm saying Tiffany Stratton retains. And then for the WWE Championship, we have Cody Rhodes defending the championship against Gunther and Sami Zayn. In a perfect world, I would want Sami Zayn to win this. I'm going to say Cody Rhodes retains.
I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes as well.
So those are our predictions for Night of Champions. Going to take a quick little break right now, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
Yo, it's your boy JTG, and you're listening to Marking Out. Wait for it. Cheer!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out episode 803. Moving back to AAA from last week, it opened with El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. and Minnie Vikingo taking on and picking up the victory over El Ojo. I thought this was really good, and it was exciting, even though it wasn't a fast-paced match that you would have perhaps expected. I think maybe because Minnie Vikingo was so good that this was just a very enjoyable match. I fully expected El Ojo to get the victory here, but Minnie Vikingo hit that springboard crucifix driver on Vikingo, got the victory. Almost right after the match attacked him. Galeno made the save. He caught Vikingo. He took Vikingo out, then almost hit him with the steps and took Galeno out. So that continues that feud between Almost and Galeno there. You had Phoenix pick up the victory over Lince Dorado and Laredo Kid to retain the championship. This was fun. I would have liked to have seen more bad blood from Laredo Kid towards Phoenix, but I assume we're going to be seeing more matches with the two of them. To close out AAA, you had El Grande Americano come out. The ovation for him I thought was absolutely incredible. He spoke about the mask versus mask match, and then he said that he didn't do it alone. He had help from his people. Ojitos de Huevo, Pimpy, Andrea Basarte, and of course all the fans. And he mentioned winning the Rey de Reyes, the mask from El Grande Americano Original as well. And now he wants the Mega Championship. And then Carmen Petrovic showed up. Very confusing. And then Bronco Nima showed up. Very confusing. Los Garza. And then Daga. That was very, very unexpected. They surround the ring. They all attack El Grande Americano. They reveal Los Perros del Mal t-shirts. I marked the absolute heck out for this. They also covered this on NXT, which I was happy. That's what I said before. I was so happy with all of this. Moving over to TNA Impact. It opened up with the Hardy Boys. Matt said that stepping into the Wicked Garden match changed the Hardys, but they needed that. They needed the Righteous to change them. And the Righteous showed up. They said that they were happy to hear about the changes from the Hardys. The system came out. basically said they're not losing the titles at Slammiversary. It led to Matt Hardy attacking the Righteous. Jeff Hardy attacked the System. They took out a ladder. They all brawled, and Jeff Hardy went to dive out onto all of them, and they all left. After this, Daria Ray added Order 4 to the match. We had Mara Shade pick up the victory over M by Elegance via disqualification. Indy Hartwell did commentary for this, but as soon as the bell rang, it was originally Ash by Elegance. Ash grabbed the microphone to yell at the crowd. And she's like, I need another mental health break. So she had M step into this match. Elena Black showed up, eventually took out Indy Hartwell. This was very, very chaotic. She also pushed Mara Shade off the top rope and attacked her. And then Indy Hartwell got back in. Heather joined in. Rosemary and Allie joined in. Very, like I said, it was just all chaos. After that, AJ Francis picked up the victory over Manny Lemons. This, I think it went how you would have expected it to, but I didn't agree with Lemons having a comeback here. It got shut down right away, but still, I didn't get it. I liked AJ Francis using the old school like Elijah would use, but he hit that spear and the down payment on Manny Lemons to get the victory. Elijah showed up on the screen afterwards and called AJ Francis a fraud. He said that he's taken back everything at Slammiversary and burned the contract, or the cease and desist, whatever it was. He had Zaya Brookside pick up the victory over Harley Hudson. Zaya attacked Harley during her entrance. I don't like them doing two of these matches back-to-back, although Harley Hudson had a much bigger comeback than Lemon had. But there was no way Harley Hudson was winning this match. And then Zaya continued the attack afterwards. Lei Ying Li, I mean, you could say she made the save, but ultimately she walked pretty slowly down to the ring and Zaya Brookside walked off or ran off. After that, Moose came out. Dango was with him because at Slammiversary, it's now a no surrender match. So it's going to be whoever throws in the towel loses. But Moose spoke about the payback he's going to be giving towards the System. Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards came out, and Eddie said that they're the reason why the System was held back. And now with Dango gone and Moose gone, they can rebuild, and they have rebuilt, and they've made it better than ever. And then Dango said that Eddie is sick and wrestling is doing that to him and he needs help. Alicia challenged Moose to spear her. They both left the ring and then she called him a coward. He ran back in to go do it, but Dango stopped him. It seems like maybe Dango might be throwing in that towel for Moose. Probably not, but that's what they made it seem like. So I enjoyed that. Yet in the main event, Cedric Alexander, Kazarian, and Mr. Elegance pick up the victory over Fabian Aichner, Leon Slater, Casey Navarro. I thought this was a fun match. Both teams worked well together. But this was, I mean, this was very chaotic. Very, very chaotic. It eventually broke down into the move, move, move gimmick. Leon Slater hit the Swanton 450 on Mr. Elegance, and Frankie Kazarian ends up rolling Leon Slater up to get the victory. Earlier, they had a world title summit. I didn't like this segment. I don't understand TNA pushing or not pushing this match more like a main event. It got personal in a gross way from Nick Nemeth. And Santana punches him right in the face. Ryan tried to attack him. Mike ends up choking him, but that allowed Nick Nemeth to come back. Smashes Mike Santana's face right into the title. And then Mike Santana went off to a medical facility to get checked on. And at the end of the night, Nick Nemeth had an update for Mike Santana. Said he doesn't think he's making it to Slammiversary. He demanded Carlos Silva come out and crown him the champion. And then Ryan Nemeth came flying out of the entranceway. Mike Santana showed up covered in blood. Security got involved. They all brawled. But even with this closing, It felt like an afterthought because of that earlier segment. I didn't like that. This, if they just did this segment and closed it all together with this, it would have been completely fine. But leading to Slammiversary, it didn't feel like a big match. But we do have Slammiversary taking place, Boston, Massachusetts. I'll do some predictions for this. You have AJ Francis versus Elijah. I'm going to say Elijah wins this match. You have, for the TNA World Tag Team Championships, The System defending the titles against the Hardys, Order 4 and The Righteous. This is a difficult one to say, but I'm going to say The System retain. I'm going to say they keep the championships. For a no surrender match with The System involved, you have Eddie Edwards versus Moose. I'm going to say Moose wins. Eric Young taking on Ricky Sosa. Ricky Sosa's getting that victory. Mustafa Ali is defending the international championship in an open challenge. Big rumor swirling around that it might be Apollo Crews, UHA Nation. I don't know what he'll be announced as in TNA. It should be cool if it is, though. For the X Division Championship, Ultimate X match, Cedric Alexander defending the championship against Leon Slater, Frankie Kazarian, Fabian Aichner, Mr. Elegance, Casey Navarro, and the returning Amazing Red. This is a hard one to pick as well. It kind of seems like they're building up Casey Navarro here. So I'm going to say Casey Navarro takes that match. For the Women's Championship, the Knockouts Championship, Lei Ying Li defending the title against Xia Brookside. I would love to see Xia Brookside become champion, but I don't like the hot potatoes, so I'm going to pick Lei Ying Li to retain the championship. And then the main event, I have to assume, the Call Your Shot match for the TNA World Championship. Mike Santana defending the championship against Nick Nemeth. I'm going to say Mike Santana retains. So that is Slammiversary. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
This is Yoda, and listening to Brandon's shout-outs, you are.
The first shout-out goes to voicemails for Isabel. Have you heard anything about this movie at all?
No.
It's a brand new film out on Netflix starring Zoe Deutsch and Nick Robinson. Like I said earlier this year, we need more rom-coms with Zoe Deutsch. We get a good rom-com with Zoe Deutsch here. I think absolutely delivered here. Her character loses her sister, and to grieve, she leaves her a bunch of voicemails. And Nick's character gets her number, her sister's number, and he gets all the voicemails, and he starts to fall in love with her. So, like, some of it's kind of creepy, but...
Oh, I saw the preview on Netflix. It looked pretty cute.
Honestly, I...
Was this the one where, like, she stands up and talks... like on the mic to somebody who looks like maybe a book signing or something? Was that this movie? I'm
gonna say no. Oh, actually, yeah, yes, this was. Yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. This was that movie. Okay. It wasn't a book signing. It was a live podcast.
Ah.
But I thought this was a perfect rom-com. Nick Offerman, Sierra Bravo, Lucas Gage, Harry Shum Jr. are also in it. I was surprised this wasn't based off of a book. But Leah McKendrick wrote it. She also appears in the movie. I literally can't say enough good things about this film. My next shout-out goes to How to Make a Killing, which is now streaming on HBO Max. I thought it was okay. The reviews tore this movie apart, and it's classified as a black comedy thriller. It's based on a 1949 movie, Kind Hearts and Coronets, which A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder is also based off of, which won, I think it was Best Tony Musical or whatever, Best Musical for the Tonys. But this stars Glenn Powell. He plays the son of an heiress who was disowned, and he goes on a killing spree to take out relatives to get his inheritance. It also stars Margaret Qualley, Jessica Henwick, Zach Woods, Topher Grace, Ed Harris. I popped because Powell's fiance in this movie works as a teacher at the Cardozo High School in Bayside, Queens, which is the high school that Matt Stryker got fired at for going to pro wrestling.
How is that for a little trivia? For
I thought that was pretty funny. Also, we know someone who went there and was taught by him, so I think that's funnier. But I thought this movie was much better than the reviews led on, so I would say check it out. Clive Davis passed away this week at the age of 94. Absolute titan in the music industry and is one of the most influential figures in modern music. Across his work at Columbia Records, Artista Records, J Records, and others, he discovered or helped launch the careers of so many musicians like Whitney Houston, Barry Manilow, Janis Joplin, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Alicia Keys, Aerosmith, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I honestly don't know what this music, what like present day music would be without him. And there's like so many artists that paid tribute to him. So it's unfortunate, but that's life, you know. My last shout out goes to David Clayton Thomas, who also passed away this week at the age of 84. He was the lead singer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He replaced Al Kooper back in the 60s, I want to say, 60s or 70s. When you hear Blood, Sweat, and Tears, though, it's literally, it's his voice. Like, "You've made me so very happy, God bless this child, and when I die, spinning wheel." He had such a distinct, like, soulful voice. And I really wish I could have gotten to see him perform, but it just never lined up that I was able to. I saw Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They were at the very first concert that I went to, but he was already gone from the group. It just never lined up, like I said. So go out and listen to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Go listen to any of those artists that Clive Davis helped launch. Those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. What do you got?
Still continues to be everything happening with Danhausen.
Well,
still marking out for that. What about you?
I got to say, big time, the Los Perros del Mal close on AAA this week was absolutely awesome. Marked the absolute heck out for that. I think that was absolutely incredible. Also, The Miz was on Password this week. So I think that was pretty cool to see. The woman that he played with actually attended WrestleMania 3. And then they had some wrestling like clues, passwords. So I thought that was a pretty fun episode of Password. You could watch it on Peacock if you still have that. But that's about it that I have. Anything else? No, right?
Nice. No?
Well, that is marking out.
Well, that was episode
103. Take us home.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. Once again, check us out, markingout.com. Like on Facebook, follow Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. And we wish you...
rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts.
Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Have a fantastic week.